You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Wolfgang Halbig. Wolfgang, thanks for joining us today.
Well, my dear friend, I appreciate everything you've ever done in getting me the opportunity to get involved in this investigation. You know, had it not been for you, I do not believe you and I would be talking today.
Yeah, that really began with Jim Fetzer showing an interest in your case when the police came over to your home and asked you to stop asking questions about Sandy Hook. And since that time, boy, we've been on a wild ride. So when was that, Wolfgang? That was in December, right around Christmas time in what year?
I think it was 2013.
Right, 2013. So that was a year after the shooting. Of course, your background is well known to most of the listeners. You're a school safety expert. You've been in the education field for many decades. You're an ex-military fella. You're an ex-Florida State Trooper. You worked for, I believe, another government agency. That was
U.S. Customs.
U.S. Customs, thank you. And, of course, you've been going through nothing but really hell just trying to find out a couple of answers. You'd finally got your time in front of the Connecticut Freedom of Information Commission, and that happened, let's see, we're in June now, so that happened in
April 24th,
right? And you just again this week went in front of them for a second time. So why don't we go back to April 24th? You were in front of the commission with your attorney, Kay Wilson. Why don't you summarize the significant things that happened during that first meeting in front of the commission?
Well, what made the first meeting really challenging is that I fired my first attorney, Paul Spinella. I mean, he did absolutely nothing for $10,000 that I paid him. So I had to scramble real quick to find a new attorney. And a very, very good friend of mine recommended this female attorney named Kate Wilson. And I trusted that friend, you know, with anything that he said. That is probably the best decision that I've ever made. She showed up, and from then on, she had to dig in, and I've only known her for about 60 days, but she's a fireball. And here's what we did. We actually want to play by the rules, and I think you should play by the rules under the Connecticut FOIA laws. And so the first thing we did, in order to prove our case, we issued subpoenas, Dave, and we issued about 7 subpoenas for people to show up to testify at the first Connecticut FOIA hearing. Now, I want you to know this. In all my life, I've been a cop, both federal and state. The attorney for the respondents, for the school board, for the police department, and for the city of Newtown, do you know he told 5 of those people that were subpoenaed by us not to show up?
Okay, so when you say he, why don't you explain to listeners who he is?
Well, his name is Monty Frank. He's the attorney from Cohen & Wolf. That's the law firm. And they represent the town, the school board, and the police department. Now, Dave, what really sort of messed us up, because we had our game plan. We knew exactly which witness. We had the questions prepared. And he goes out and he tells these people, just don't show up. It sort of put a dent, you know, in our strategy. But I still think we accomplished a lot on that day, you know, talking to the police chief, talking to the director of facilities. Dave, I am telling you to this day, these people have committed perjury. If anybody knows what perjury is they lied under oath. They knew they were lying, and we're still going to deal with that after the hearing report comes out.
This fellow, Monty Frank, I think you sent it to me or somebody did. There's a photograph of this guy with that race hustler, Al Sharpton. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Let me tell you how powerful that little guy is. He is the vice president of the Connecticut Bar Association. He has enough power that when we had our first hearing scheduled on March 31st, he convinced the FOIA commissioners to postpone the hearing. Now, this is after I bought a $600 airplane ticket. I had my hotel reservations, car reservations. They all knew that I had this plan, and they canceled the hearing. And all of this was non-refundable airline ticket. These people are playing games with me. So the next time I told the commissioners that next time, let Monty Frank pick the day so he can't get out of it. And he picked April 24th.
Right. They actually said, well, what day would you like? And you said, well, don't ask me. Ask Monty Frank. Because
ask Monty Frank.
Right.
Because guess what? I'm going to be there, but no more excuses. And this guy, and you know what? He lied to the commissioner. He said that he was out of state on urgent business. You know what he was doing? He was on his bicycle tour to Washington, D.C., raising money for gun control. Now, how is that more important than representing your clients before the Freedom of Information Commission? See, this whole thing is just ugly, and these people get away with it because Connecticut, the government allows them to do that.
You know, you're right. And sadly, very sadly for this country and for the citizens that want to play by the rules like you do, like I do, like a lot of people. They have their own set of rules. Their job, as you know, and as most of the listeners know, their job is to uphold the law. Their job is to represent the law. Their job is to follow the law, but they don't. That's why they could do what they do. That's why they said, well, I'm going to be busy. Cost you $600 or so for your ticket and all the aggravation you've been going through. So the first time you were in front of these clowns, they gave you a hard time.
Dave, remember now, see, when we talk about money, I mean, each subpoena costs me $297 to be served by the marshals, okay? Now, four of those people didn't bother to show up. Now, remember, these are our witnesses. We have a right to subpoena witnesses, and they must show up under a subpoena. And this attorney for the other side just calls them up and said, don't bother to show up. Why is there no consequences for that?
Well, what did your attorney say? Could there be consequences?
We're going to file grievances against him and his law firm because guess what? He is an officer of the court. And a lot of people tend to forget that. They're number one. They represent number one, the court. They're officers of the court. And they're to abide by the rules, by the subpoenas. You know what? He doesn't care.
I know. He doesn't care. And is there somebody above him that could reprimand him or censure him?
Well, and that's what we got to find out. But we're so entrenched, you know, in getting information. We're focused. We have a plan. And when the first four people don't show up, now we had to change strategy. Now we had to go to the police chief. And then we had to go to the director of facilities. It just changed our game plan. And we've never been in the commission hearing, so we had to learn about that. Kay had to get to know me. I had to get to know her. So that first hearing was a learning experience.
So after that hearing, which was, as you said, April 24th, here we went through the last week of April, we went through the entire month of May, and then in the first week of June, you did it again. Significant things that happened at that hearing.
Well, absolutely. I tell you what, before I'm going to go into that hearing, you know, the night before, June the 2nd, I somehow found the agenda for the Newtown School Board. And it really was my 1 year anniversary. The last time I spoke before them, remember you were sitting there with me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, June the 3rd is just a little over our first year anniversary. And on the agenda, they had awarding children for excellence. I mean, that room was packed with children and parents and grandparents, pictures, video, you name it. That room was smoking in pride. It made me feel good as a school administrator because that's what school boards are all about, okay? And then when that was over, they had their cake and, you know, fruit punch. And then they went into the regular board meeting, and then we came to public response. And so I raised my hand, and I don't think they were very happy to see me because I don't think they knew I was coming. And I went before them, and I told them that what I saw early in the program, I was really proud of them for promoting these children and their success and their excellence. But when I'm angry at to this day. A year ago, I sat here in this chair asking for your help. And to this day, you have refused to help me in any way. And these are such simple questions. And what I'm angry about tonight, after watching this great presentation, tell me, how in the world can you send 26 children from the Sandy Hook Elementary School and their choir teacher to New Orleans to perform in the NFL Super Bowl on February the 3rd, 2013? How come there is no documentation whatsoever about field trips? You know, they're introduced by CBS Sports as the Sandy Hook Elementary School Choir. You know what that means? It means they're representing you, the school board members. They're representing the principal in the Sandy Hook School. They're representing your community. And yet to this day, you have yet to invite them into this boardroom as you've done with these kids tonight and their parents to show them your support for their excellence in promoting Sandy Hook. You know, they got a standing ovation. You know what that means? They were bringing healing back to the community. I mean, think about it. Over 110 million people were watching that event. And here they were singing on February the 3rd, 2013. And 2 days later, the school board has a meeting, February the 5th. And Dave, I got to tell you, do you know not one word by any board member, by any superintendent, by anybody in the audience about what a great job these children did in helping to heal the tragedy at Sandy Hook? How could you not say, what did y'all see those kids? Didn't they do a great job? Aren't we proud of them? And they didn't even bother to bring them into the boardroom.
Did it happen? I mean, who were they?
Well, you know what? There is no records of a field trip. There are no records of parental permission forms. There are absolutely no media release documents, because when you appear for in a musical performance on the national news media and you're being televised, you actually have to sign, as you know, a media release by the parents. You can't find any documentation where these kids are coming from.
What do you think? What's your explanation?
Well, my explanation is, number one, it couldn't be from Sandy Hook Elementary School, because on December 14th, 2012, that school, as I said many times, is so filthy, so deplorable. It's a toxic waste dump. This school was not a functioning school. This school had asbestos, lead paint, PCP. What parents would send their child into that cesspool? I don't believe it was operating. Therefore, those kids could not have been their classmates, because the school was not in operation. And if the school's not in operation, then they could not have had this massacre.
Before we get back to the second board meeting and some of the highlights of it, the second hearing, I should say, when you first started out on this quest, and I think I could call it a quest, back in December of 2013, so we went through all of 2014, and now we're halfway through 2015. In the beginning, you had a bunch of people who were aligned with you and who were, and there still are, there's still a lot of people around the world who are supporting you. But you had a significant number of the alternative media on your side when you first started out. Has that changed now?
I think it's picking up. You know, you allowing me to start just explaining my dealings, it allowed me to get on Alex Jones and John B. Wells' Caravan to Midnight. They actually hired a documentary crew. You're going to love this video that's being produced for people across the country to see. It is unbelievable footage, and it shows the highlights of the first hearing, the second hearing. It shows the governor and I meeting in the governor's office where he lies like a dog.
I saw that. That
I mean, great. You know, this is the governor of the state who, on the day of the tragedy, says that the lieutenant governor and I were spoken to, that something like this might happen in our state. When I confronted him in his office, eyeball to eyeball, he said, "I never said that." And I asked him twice to make sure he understood me. And again, he said, "I never said, you got the wrong Malloy."
Yeah, and then he scurried away like the politician he is.
See, to me, that's not funny. When he's standing in front of all of those microphones, people from across the world are watching. I mean, they're watching because they want to know what's going on. And this guy lies just like the medical examiner did. I hope this never comes crashing down on the people. What has that got to do with the school shooting?
Exactly. That's right. Let's get back to the second hearing. Anything significant that you uncovered there?
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, it was a Oscar moment. You know, if you ever watch the Oscars, I mean,
I try not to, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I didn't subpoena Pat Leorder. Pat Leorder is the first select woman for the city of Newtown. This lady is a dictator. Nothing happens in that community unless she says it's okay. She is a controller. So the attorney that I had, you know, we went through a bunch of questioning. Now remember, she is the respondent's witness. We didn't call her. Monty Frank called her. And one of the big issues was everybody across the country saw this. There's this huge traffic sign behind Gene Rosen, and the big traffic sign was programmed to read, "Everybody must check in." I mean, think about it. Even middle school kids would know what that means. But who's everybody? And when it says you must check in, there's already a predetermined list. Would you not agree?
Absolutely.
Well, think about it. You must sign in, so there's a list. So when my attorney asked Pat Leorder, "Well, did you order that sign?" He asked the police chief, "Did you order that sign?" He said, "No." Pat Leorder said, "No, we didn't put that sign out there." And then Kay did a follow-up, and she said, "Well, who do you think put that sign out there?" She says, "Homeland Security." Dave, my attorney pinched me. I almost fell out of her chair. And I looked at Pat Leorder and I said, "Thank you. Thank you."
They admitted that.
Under oath.
What is Homeland Security doing there putting up a sign?
Now, Dave, I want your listeners to really have a good tabletop discussion with your family. Now, think about it. Look at every tragedy in our schools, whether it's Columbine, Jonesburg, or Paducah. When does Homeland Security get out there within 3 to 5 hours and put up a huge traffic sign that reads, "Everybody must check in"? Who does that? Nobody does that.
Prior to this being revealed and admitted, had this ever come out in public before?
No, it has not.
Now that this came out, has anybody picked up on it? I mean, I shouldn't say about the criminals in the mainstream media haven't done anything, right?
Well, they really haven't, no.
The alternative media, they picked up on this significant thing here?
Yeah, they have. I think Alex Jones and Dan Bidondi, and I think it's Rob. I can't think of Rob's last name. Rob, who works for Alex Jones in InfoWars, he actually had his uncle there who's a former 35-year-old FBI agent who's right. Retired. And they even interviewed him, and he said, "I cannot believe what I just heard and what I observed today. This is really, really strange."
Them admitting it is one thing, but is that all they did? Did you ask for, or were you allowed to ask for them to elaborate upon that, or that's not part of
it? No, that's not part of it, because, you know, Monty Frank objected, and I think Kay was happy just for the fact that when she said, as the first select woman, that that sign was put there by Homeland Security, we got what we needed.
Wow, that's huge.
It's very huge. And the other thing is that we got that was huge on that day is having the police chief, Mike Kehoe, read into the record the Connecticut State Police pilot's mission statement. I mean, here's a police chief having to read the mission of the Connecticut State Trooper helicopter, which read, "To assist the Newtown Police Department in the search of suspects in the woods." Now, Dave, how would the pilot know where to go, first of all? How would he know what woods to search?
Any other bombshells that were dropped?
Well, absolutely. You know, again, back to the police chief. How do you alter and tamper with dash cam videos that are supposed to be public records and are part of evidence? They gave me dash cam videos of Lieutenant Cinco, Officer Seabrook. They have removed the date and timestamp. Now, to me, that's criminal. But again, in Connecticut, I guess they do whatever they want.
Why would they remove the date and timestamp? What did they say the reason was?
Well, they said it's my software. It must be in my computer. It's my problem. But what they forgot to tell the commissioner is that when we viewed those dash cam video DVDs that they gave me, they were actually viewed on their computers at the Newtown Police Department. And guess what? We didn't see the date or timestamp.
You got Homeland Security showing up at the alleged crime scene to put up a sign saying that everybody must check in. You've got the deletion of important information from some videos. Anything else that you had uncovered there?
Don't forget Connecticut State Trooper 1. That is a huge piece of the puzzle, because the chief of police under oath said that the Newtown police never, ever communicated with the helicopter, which brings my point back. Well, how in the world would the pilot know where to go? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, of course. If he said they never communicated with him, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but then how would the pilot know that there were suspects in the woods?
He couldn't know unless it was pre-planned.
And what woods would he go search? I mean, you know how much woods there is around that school?
We were there.
Yeah, we were there, so we know. But when he says under oath that we've never, ever talked to the pilot, I think that's a lie.
And did Kay feel the same way?
Yes, absolutely. I think in order now to hold these people accountable for what they said at the hearing, I think one of our big issues is that if we get enough legal funds through donations, we're going to hire an attorney just to attack CBS Sports and the National Football League, because they're the ones that sponsored those Sandy Hook Elementary School kids to the Super Bowl. And we're going to sue them for publicly introducing these children when they're actually not attending Sandy Hook Elementary School. They inflicted emotional distress to 110 million people worldwide and to all of those inside the stadium, making us believe that these were actually children who were in that school on that day of the tragedy. They're going to have some explaining to do.
What's the next step?
Well, we're going to wait. We have 30 days until the hearing officer is going to do his ruling. And then we have a chance to appear in front of the entire commission to respond to their ruling. I think we're going to win half of it. I think we may not get everything we want, but I'm going to be happy if I think what we're going to get, which are the dash cam videos, which are some more records. I feel good.
What are they actually ruling on?
Well, remember, the respondents, Monty Frank and them, had to prove and show cause as to why they refused to respond to our FOIA request. I mean, think about it. The work orders, I didn't get them till the day before the first hearing on April 24th. Now, think about it. They've had them for over a year. If you look at their information, they've been in possession of those records for over a year. They gave them to me one day before the hearing. When I requested emails from Doug Hochsprung, they've had them for over a year, and I received them the day before the June 3rd hearing. Now, you tell me that's responding promptly to Connecticut FOIA requests.
What does a FOIA law say when they have to give it to you?
Well, anyone in this country wants to submit a FOIA request. Once you mail it, they have, from the time they receive it, they have 4 days to respond to you, telling you that they've received your request. Then they have 30 days from the time they received it to respond to you, and by telling you that they're not going to give you the information because it's exempt, or they're going to give you the information once you pay for it. You know what? Now think about this. I've been waiting a year. Now, is that called prompt response?
Well,
see, they're intentionally withholding information.
Can they be somehow punished for that?
Well, you know, who knows? It's Connecticut.
What?
You know, the Freedom of Information Commission, the people need to know this. They work for the governor. So what does that tell you?
Their political appointees are going to do what he says. Right, of course. The more and more we find out, not just about Connecticut, and I never liked that state for some reason, but the more and more we find out about not just Connecticut, but other states across the country, doesn't it seem like, as I said when we first started this interview, doesn't it seem like they operate by their own set of rules and they really could give a darn about the Constitution?
You know what? You're absolutely right. I think they're arrogant, they flaunt the laws, they stick it in your face, and basically what they're saying to me and the rest of America, what are you going to do about it? See, there's the problem. I think Connecticut is so corrupt within the judicial system that they know that if you do file a lawsuit, you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, it's a kangaroo court. It's all rigged. So this ended, you said, June 2nd, was that it?
No, June 2nd is when the police chief, Mike Kehoe, actually resigned his position.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. I saw something online.
Now, he resigned the day before he had to testify for the second time.
Are you kidding? Okay, wait, come on, Wolf. This is huge. He actually fell on his sword.
Yes, he did. The day before he had to go to the hearing for the second time.
So they obviously ordered him that he was going down. So your work actually resulted in this guy going down. Congratulations. That's excellent.
No, it's not just Wolfgang. It's everybody who donated. When I sit in that chair and you watch me, Dave, it's me representing you and every person who's ever trusted me and believed in me. I try to be your voice and I try to be respectful. And all they had to do, Dave, remember, is answer 7 questions.
Right.
And I would have gone away.
I know that. And they're not going to. They're fighting to do it. And I understand what you're saying. And I appreciate everything you've done. As I've said before, this isn't easy. It's putting a lot of pressure on your personal life. I know that you have a lot of detractors. There's a cottage industry that has sprung up that tries to discredit your every move. Has this group of, let's call them as they call themselves, like anti-hoaxers, they're going after the Sandy hoaxers. Has this group of anti-Wolfgang people responded to these recent revelations?
I don't care. I don't pay attention. They're not worth paying attention to.
That's cool.
I mean, why would I waste 1 second of my life, my time? I'm 69. My time is valuable. Why would I want to waste my time looking at them, or why would I care what they think? I know who I am. I've worked all my life in public service, and all I wanted is 7 simple questions answered. So all these people out there who are calling me a fraud, a liar, a Mossad agent, a Nazi, I mean, they're attacking me, destroyed my business, they're trying to ruin my family. You know what? Go on. Have fun. Enjoy it.
You never could have imagined in your wildest dreams how these people would have come out of the woodwork to do it.
You know what? Don't they have a life? Who in the world stays up all night worrying about Wolfgang Halbig and what I'm doing?
Apparently a lot of...
Answer the damn questions.
But they can't, because obviously they're hiding something.
Well, I have never, ever in a school shooting from Columbine on, never have I seen so many people with ID tags around their neck. What in the world is that about? Oh, I want you to know, I went on June the 2nd, we had a documentary crew, so we went to St. Rose, Lima, because I wanted to see Monsignor Wise. I wanted to find out the name of those two nuns that were at the Sandy Hook Fire Department on that day of the shooting. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the office and tried to see Monsignor Wise. He refused to see me. I walked across the parking lot in the rain. I mean, I was soaking wet. And when I walked back out to the car, there are six Newtown police vehicles surrounding us.
This was just June 2nd?
Yeah. Oh. Intimidation, threats.
For the folks out there who want to make sure that you continue, because clearly you've had some success here, they want to help you out. They want to donate some money to the fund so you can get attorneys. How can they do it?
Well, please go to www.sandyhookjustice.com. The only thing that I have left is a PayPal button because they shut down my GoFundMe page. I mean, the Newtown community called me a fraud, a liar. They wrote letters to the CEO of GoFundMe and the chief financial officer. And GoFundMe shut me down without ever contacting me and giving me my due process. So now all those people out there who helped me in the beginning, they actually now believe I'm a fraud. So please, whatever you can do to help, this is not to pay my living expenses. I'm retired. I have a good retirement. I've learned how to do that. But this is to pay for our legal bills because guess what? We're not going away.
That's awesome. And I can vouch for that, Wolf, that you have a very comfortable life. You're not
doing it. This is my home.
I've been to your home and I've spoken to you on numerous occasions besides, like you said, meeting you face to face several times. You're just a regular guy, a nice guy who wants answers. You're not looking to obviously enrich yourself from this. There are people out there for some reason. You know what? I guess because they haven't spent enough time or they can't imagine that somebody would actually want to do something just to get answers, that they have this inside of them. I think that's what it is. I think people like us who really, the truth is what gets us going. We want to get the answers. We don't care if it costs us money. Obviously, it's cost you money. It's cost you time. You haven't walked away from this thing unscathed. But I guess now more than ever, you need the help of supporters to get over this last hurdle.
Absolutely. And whatever they can do and whatever they can find in their heart to help us, it will be greatly appreciated. And just like you, Dave, when you brought your son into my home, you got a beautiful son. But guess what? You're doing this for him. That's what are you going to leave him? You know, what's his legacy going to be and his children? That's what we're fighting for.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Thank you.
Halbig, I want to thank you so much again for the time you spent explaining all this to listeners. You're a great American. You're doing a great thing. And looking forward to speaking to you again on the next update.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thanks, Wolf.
Good night.